The story is told of two shoe salesmen a few decades ago who went to Africa to sell shoes. One of them wired back, "Horrible market, terrible prospects, nobody here wears shoes." The other one wired back, "Wonderful market, tremendous prospects, everyone here needs shoes." You know, I believe we do the same with the gospel. Sometimes we look around and in discouragement we say, nobody is interested in the Lord. And then others look around and they see that everybody needs the Lord. Now, as we behold our King today, we look at a man who came with the sole mission to seek and to save the lost. And I hope that each and every one of us today will purpose in our hearts in the year 2011 to do more personally to share the gospel with others. Now, if you're like me, you face some barriers to that. And I believe if we were to take a poll and to ask the question, what are some of the greatest hindrances or barriers to sharing the gospel with others, we could boil it down and summarize it into three different categories or three reasons. One, I don't have the time. Number two, I'm afraid of being rejected. Number three, I feel inadequate. Now, in Luke chapter 10, Jesus taught the familiar parable of the Good Samaritan. And the story of the Good Samaritan provides the keys, I believe, to overcoming these barriers. In Luke 10, Jesus taught that there was a certain man that went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and he fell among thieves. Now here is the victim. This guy was robbed, he was beat up, he was left half dead, and we know almost nothing about him. We don't know his character, we don't know his status, we don't know his race. Jesus leaves it ambiguous by saying that a certain man. The point is that it really doesn't matter who he was. Love responds to the need of the person, not the nature of the person. Then there was the robbers, who used this man, beat him up, and then threw him aside. Then there were the religious leaders, the priests and the Levite. You would think these would be the ones that would help this man. But when they come near him, they look at him, and they pass him by. And then Jesus comes to the Samaritan. In verse 33, he says, "But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion. So when he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and he took care of him." Jesus went on to ask this lawyer, "Which three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves?" And he said, "He who showed mercy on him." And then Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." Now this, of course, is a parable. And I don't believe that the only application to this parable is for us to help travelers, or for us to help those who are injured, or even the sick, or the poor. Those who have the greatest need are those who are lost. And the greatest way you can be a good Samaritan is to help those who are spiritually half dead and those who need to hear the gospel. Out of all the terrible plights, out of all of the terrible conditions someone could face, being lost is the worst. And so, the Samaritan demonstrates three things that I believe we need to demonstrate when sharing the gospel. First of all, he showed compassion. He helped this man because he had compassion. Here is a man that was left half dead, and when this Samaritan looked upon his need, he saw that need, and he was moved with compassion. It bothered him, and it cared about him. He cared about him, and therefore he helped him. Now that was the fundamental difference between the Samaritan and the priest and the Levite. They didn't care, and he did. That was the reason that there was a difference in how they responded. If you care enough, you will take the time. We don't have time. If you care enough, you will make the time. It becomes a priority. In Mark chapter 6 and verse 31, the Bible tells us that Jesus came aside, or Jesus told his disciples, come aside by yourself to a deserted place and rest a while. And the Bible explains why. For they were there were many coming and going, and they didn't even have time to eat. So they departed to a deserted place in a boat by themselves. I sometimes wonder, what would it have been like for Jesus to have been in the midst of the multitudes constantly, the people surrounding him all of the time, and the pressures of that situation. And his idea of getting away from it all was to get in a boat with his 12 best friends. And the Bible says, but the multitude saw them departing, and many knew him, and he ran there on foot from all the cities, and they arrived before them and came to him. And Jesus, when he came out, he saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion because they were like sheep not having a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things. Jesus was busy. And many times Jesus was tired. And Jesus, in John chapter 4, when he was on his way to Samaria, he rested at the well of Jacob. And he was tired, hungry, and thirsty. But he saw a woman who had a need, and he began to communicate to her about the water of life. Jesus could not help but to teach people because he had compassion for them. He was moved with compassion. He saw them as lost sheep. When you see people, what do you see? We will find the time where we have compassion. Are we too busy to notice? Are we too self-absorbed, too distracted to care? But number two, this good Samaritan was such a good Samaritan because he took a risk. Sometimes we are afraid of rejection, but here's a man that took a risk. He was willing to get personally involved. Now, this obviously wasn't a very safe road to travel. Here was a man that had been mugged, and yet this Samaritan took time and took a risk to stop and help this man. Many times we pass by opportunities to share the gospel because we're too afraid to take a risk. And we've been singing all week about sharing the gospel with our friends and with our neighbors. And in order to do that, we've got to get out of the boat. It's risky. And it's risky to ask your friend or your neighbor or to even ask a stranger to study the Bible. You know, they might get kind of huffy and say no. They might be cold towards us after that, and it might be awkward around them after that. They might not say it, but they may think you're fanatical. But Jesus and our brethren in the first century were willing to sacrifice their lives for the gospel. And yet sometimes we're not willing to risk a friendship. But what if they don't listen, you might think? What if they don't listen? Well, what if they don't? But what if they do? Isn't it worth the risk? The third thing the Samaritan did was that he did what he could. You know, sometimes we think that I'm not the most capable, I'm not the best prepared, I'm not the most knowledgeable, I'm not the wisest, I'm not a preacher. Let somebody else do it. They can do a better job than I can. Like what Randy said the other night, when it comes to church work and service to God, we become very humble. And we think we're very inadequate. Well, you know, the Good Samaritan was inadequate. You know, he was just a Samaritan. He was not a fully equipped medical center. And as far as we know, he wasn't a doctor. He didn't build a hospital. And, you know, if There were other people that were better qualified to take care of this man's need. That might have been the case, but you know, they weren't there, and he was. In fact, if he had waited for a doctor to come by to get involved, he could have been dead by then. And you see people, and I see people every day that need our help. And you can't do everything. And you don't know all of the answers, and you may not be a preacher. But there they are, half dead. And there you are, and you have something they need that can help them. You know something about the gospel. And if you wait for somebody else to come along that is better qualified than you, it may be too late. They may never have another opportunity. And if somebody comes along later to help them, what you do now is not going to hurt anything. The Samaritan did what he could with what he had. And we shouldn't be overly concerned about our feeling of inadequacy or allow that to prevent us from helping or talking to others about the Lord. Because when you look at the Bible, you'll see that God was never in the habit of using the best qualified people to do his work in the first place. In fact, often God used the least qualified to accomplish his work. The power is in the gospel. And God put the power in the gospel so that it would be obvious as to where that power came from. In fact, in 2 Corinthians 4:7, he says that we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. I don't know that it even matters how talented or able I think that I am. But what I do see is that in the New Testament, there is an emphasis upon every member of the body doing his or her part. And you are the only Christian that some people will ever know. And if you don't introduce them to the gospel, nobody will. Now, you may get them part of the way, and somebody else may get them the rest of the way. But you do what you can with what you have. And I'm convinced that if we want to see the church grow and if we want to see an explosion of growth in the year ahead, everybody goes back to restoring the New Testament church. And when we do that, we see that they were on fire. It wasn't just the leaders. It was every member having, as Joe said last night, the Lord in their hearts, taking it to the lost. And sharing the gospel with those who are lost. And we will see a growth. And I believe, as our brethren have pointed out, there are people who are willing to listen if we will do what we can to help them. Do not say there are still 4 months and then the harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look. Look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. You may or may not know me by name. I'm not a Christian. I'm just your neighbor. I'm the guy who works the same shift at the plant. I'm the woman who sat at the nearby table the other day at the donut shop. I'm the grease-stained mechanic who periodically works on your car. I'm the old man who walks his dog past your house every morning. I'm the feeble old lady who lives in seclusion in her house down the street. I'm that obnoxious beer guzzler you had to sit by at last night's baseball game, whose loud mouth you had to sit through extra innings. Now, no, I'm not a Christian. I'm just your neighbor. You may not like the way that I live or the way that I act. You can see what my problem is, even though I can't. My concept of God, morality, and true happiness are distorted. I've misunderstood the purpose of my being here. I don't see sin for what it really is. And I don't realize that eternal punishment is only a heartbeat away. But you understand all of this. Will you allow me to continue in my ignorance without even lifting a finger to help? Isn't there anything you can do? Perhaps if you'd show me some kindness, even when I don't deserve it, strike up a friendly conversation, show an interest in me, and don't be afraid to mention God or morality. Yes, I'll probably think you a little strange at first, but don't you see, I need help in thinking about those matters. If left up to me, those things would rarely enter my mind. Show to me the joyfulness that you say accompanies one who serves God. Let me see that there really are some people who have found contentment in life. Prove to me that that total dedication to Christ lifts a man's burdens rather than becoming an additional one. But don't stop there. Invite me to come to worship with you. Ask me to study the Bible with you. If I say no at first, don't give up on me. Tell me about God's plan of salvation. Teach me those noble truths that you know so well. And above all, be patient with me. Don't become easily frustrated when those passages so clear to you do not appear so to me. Slowly and gently remove the scales of denominational religion from my eyes. Help me to be what I should be. Help me so that my soul can be saved too. You may or may not know me by name, but I'll tell you who I am. I'm one who was going down the road from Jerusalem to Jericho who fell among thieves. I was stripped, I was beaten, and I was left half dead. Some have already passed me by. I'm not a Christian, but won't you be my neighbor? In the year ahead, have compassion. Take a risk and do what you can.